Dette en podcast fra Dagens Næringsliv.
Denne podcasten sponset av TrippelTex. Å drive en bedrift uten regnskapsprogrammet TrippelTex litt som å felle trær uten motorsag. Øks funker det også, absolutt. Men det blir gammeldags, eller? TrippelTex, det fleksible regnskapsprogrammet som forenkler hverdagen for over 100 000 fornøyde kunder. Prøv gratis på TrippelTex.no.
Velkommen til denne spesialepisoden av Finansrelasjonen.
Det en podcast som lages av oss I Dagens Næringsliv. Jeg heter Terje Erikstad og finansredaktør. I dag min gjest en av verdens fremste unge økonomer. Hans navn Gabriel Zucman. Han forsker først og fremst på skatt og ulikhet. To viktige, men også kontroversielle temaer. Resten av denne podcasten vil foregå på engelsk. Welcome, Gabriel Zucman. Great to have you on our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So why inequality and tax? Why do you research those topics?
Taxation is probably the most important democratic question. We live in societies here in Norway or in France, where I live, where the government collects about 50% of national income in taxes and redistributes and spends 50% or more of national income. That means that essentially half of all the wealth that's created each year is socialized. And deciding on how to proceed, how to organize this system of taxes and redistribution is probably the most important question that we face as citizens and as voters. And the second reason is that taxation has a large effect on inequality. When we look at history, when we look at the evolution of income concentration, of wealth concentration around the world, we see that there are lots of policies that affect inequality, to be sure, but that the tax system and the progressivity of the tax system is probably the most important determinant of income and wealth inequality.
So what is the connection between those two topics, inequality and tax?
Taxes shape the distribution of income and wealth. Taxes matter for two reasons. One, there is a mechanical effect of taxes, which is that, of course, you know, if you pay taxes, then it reduces how much income you have at your disposal to consume and to save. So it reduces the inequality of after-tax income. But there is another effect. There is another way through which taxes affect inequality, which is that taxes also change the distribution of pre-tax income, the distribution of market income, because the tax system changes the incentives for people to earn income. That is even perhaps more important in the grand scheme of things, meaning that when you have a highly progressive tax system with very high tax rates for top earners, it changes the incentives to try to earn super high incomes, you know, incomes in the millions of dollars, and it just compresses the distribution of market income.
How would you describe the big picture for tax and inequality? You have just released a report about the global tax evasion status from your new research lab.
Yes, absolutely. We just released our inaugural global tax evasion report. We being the EU tax observatory that I created in 2021. So it's the first report of its kind that takes a truly global perspective on tax evasion, on international tax competition, on tax avoidance, and more broadly on the question of the sustainability of our tax systems. And why is that question important? Well, it's because we all know that since the 1980s, inequality has been on the rise for many reasons, including globalization, technological change, changes in domestic policies. But what has happened is that the tax system, instead of offsetting some of that trend, has in fact, changes in the tax systems have in fact reinforced the rise of inequality. Why? Because the very winners from globalization, multinational companies and wealthy individuals, have been allowed to pay less and less in taxes. Corporate tax rates have been cut. In most countries, wealth taxes have been abolished. The taxation of capital income has been reduced. There's been an increase in tax avoidance, in tax evasion. And so that is unlikely to be sustainable. You know, if the very winners of globalization are also those who pay less and less in taxes, while, you know, the middle class, the working class that has benefited much less from globalization has to pay more in taxes, everybody understands that it cannot go on forever. And so in that context, there has been a number of policy initiatives over the last decade to try to start changing that situation, to try to better fight against tax evasion, to try to have minimum taxes on multinational companies. And so what we do in the report is to take stock of these initiatives and to try to see what is working and what is not working, what progress has been achieved in reducing global tax evasion, what have been the failures, and what remains to be done.
So when you present the report, you you actually compare it to one of my favorite films, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Why do you do that?
Exactly. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is that some policy initiatives have proven effective. That's the automatic exchange of bank information. So, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was really easy for people to hide assets in tax havens, to conceal, you know, bank deposits and equities and bonds. So there was a significant offshore tax evasion. Since 2017, there is an automatic exchange of bank information. Banks in Switzerland, in the Cayman Islands, have to report information to the Norwegian tax authorities and to the authorities in other countries. And it has not fixed all the problems, but it has made it possible to reduce offshore tax evasion quite significantly, which is important because it shows that tax evasion is not some kind of law of nature. It is a policy choice. We can choose to fight against tax evasion just like we can choose to accept it. And this success of the automatic exchange of bank information is a source of hope for the future. So that's the good. The bad is the largely broken promise of taxing multinational companies better. Profit shifting to tax havens continues. There is about $1 trillion in profits that are shifted each year to places like Ireland, Bermuda, other corporate tax havens. And this shows no sign of abating. And in 2021, there was high hope when more than 140 countries agreed on a minimum tax of 15% for multinational companies. But unfortunately, since then, this agreement has been watered down. The original agreement was already very limited because the 15% rate is quite low, but at least there was the promise that this rate would be applied systematically. And since 2021, what has happened is that lots of loopholes and exemptions have been introduced, such that today the tax revenue that we can expect from this 15% minimum tax is only half or even a third of what we could expect based on the 2021 agreement. So that's the bad. The ugly is that there are some issues that we've not even tried to tackle yet. The most important one is the non-taxation or the quasi-non-taxation of billionaires, of very wealthy people. They have a very big tax deficit. They pay much less tax than the rest of the population. Why? Because when you're very rich, it's very easy to structure your wealth such that this wealth generates very little or sometimes zero taxable income. We saw that in the US with the revelations from the US media ProPublica in 2021. We see it in a growing number of countries where there are studies in partnership with tax administrations to quantify this issue. And the international community has not done anything yet to address that issue. And we think it should be the next priority for the international tax reform agenda, setting a floor to how low tax rates can go for the wealthy, having a global coordinated minimum tax on billionaires. In the report, we propose to introduce a 2% minimum tax for global billionaires.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how get 30, how get 20, 20, 20, how get 20, 20, how get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's traditionally the tax havens we point the fingers to. But when we look at your report, the countries that facilitate most profit shifting is actually the Netherlands and Ireland. And you also point out about the billionaires that a lot of countries in the European Union has provided special tax preferences for wealthy individuals. So how do you explain that the European Union and the countries in that union actually compete in this tax competition?
Yeah, it's very important that corporate tax evasion is not something that happens primarily in Panama or Macau or in some distant offshore tax havens. It mostly happens here in Europe, out of the $1 trillion in dollars shifted to tax havens globally. About half of that total is shifted to European tax havens, Ireland, Netherlands, Luxembourg, Switzerland being the most important ones. And similarly, many countries in Europe have adopted special tax regimes to attract a little bit of profit from multinational firms or some wealthy individuals or specific high-income professionals. And the fundamental reason for all of that is that in a globalized world, there is a temptation everywhere to become a tax haven of sorts. Countries think that if they do that, they will gain activity, they will gain employment, maybe even a bit of tax revenue. And indeed, you look at Ireland, for instance, they collect much more corporate tax revenue per capita than all other countries. So it pays off, at least in the short run, because in the long run, I don't think it's a sustainable model. But in the short run, it can pay off to play the card of tax competition. That's why it's very important to take a global perspective on these issues, because even though from a single country perspective, it can pay off, from a global perspective, all of that is zero sum. In fact, it's worse than zero sum. It's negative sum, because the main consequence of all of these special tax regimes is just to fuel inequality. Who benefits from those? It's high income, high wealth people. So when individuals move from country A to country B, it doesn't change anything for the world as a whole. It just cuts taxes for very wealthy people. It increases inequality, so it's not sustainable. Hence the need for global reports that take a truly global perspective like we do. And more fundamentally, there is a need for an IPCC on taxation.
IPCC, like the climate...
IPCC is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And we think there is a need for an independent panel of experts on taxes that would take the much needed global perspective on tax systems that would... based on the science, the frontier science, would quantify the evolution of global tax evasion, international tax competition, the cost of all of these things from a global perspective. And we are trying, at a very modest level, but to plant the seeds for an evolution of this kind with this report and with our EU tax observatory.
These issues about inequality and tax are hotly debated, very sensitive political issues. How does that impact your research? And do you consider yourself kind of a political activist?
No, not at all. You know, I do research on these questions, but my intellectual tradition, if you want, is that the reason why we do research in economics or in the social sciences more broadly is not because the economy exists, you know, like the stars in the sky. It's to help first inform the public debate, you know, contribute to a more informed public democratic debate, and second, to try to contribute to the elaboration of better public policies. So that's why there is a need to do the research the most rigorous with the best data possible, but also to engage with civil society, with policymakers, with citizens, with everybody about the findings. That's the intellectual tradition that I subscribe to. There are other intellectual traditions that are perfectly valid, but you know, to me, that's how economists can be useful. Or to put it differently, I very much like the metaphor of the economist as a plumber. You know, Esther Duflo, who won the Nobel Prize a few years ago, she has a famous article that's titled "The Economist as a Plumber," and I think, you know, it works really well for what we're trying to do. You know, there are taxes, there are loopholes in the tax systems. You have tax avoidance, you have leaks, you know, tax evasion, and where we economists can be useful is by studying those leaks, understanding them, and also showing how they can be fixed and contributing to fixing those.
In Norway, we have wealth tax. We have one of the few countries that have that kind of tax, and it's quite hotly debated in Norway. Do you think that that is a good tax, or should we abolish, for example, on working capital, as some politicians would like, or abolish it totally?
Yeah, I think the wealth tax is part of the ideal tax system. In the ideal tax system, there is a comprehensive income tax, there is an inheritance tax for meritocratic reason, and there is also a progressive tax for the very rich. Why? Because for the very rich, the income tax is not enough. Why isn't the income tax enough? Because when you're very rich, it's very easy to organize your wealth such that this wealth generates very little taxable income. And so, you know, you end up in a situation where the wealthiest people pay very little income tax. That's why you need also a tax on wealth. But you need to do it smartly. And the problem with the way that the Norwegian wealth tax works is that Norway lets wealthy people move to Switzerland without asking them to keep paying taxes. But Norway could say, look, now if you've become very rich in Norway, and that's great, but that's in part because you've benefited from public infrastructure, from access to the market, from education in Norway, from healthcare. So now if you move to Switzerland, we, Norway, we will keep taxing you, just like if you were still a taxpayer.
Forever?
It could be forever. It could be for just 5, 10, 15 years. It could depend on the number of years that you have been a tax resident in Norway, so that if you've spent a very long time, we will keep taxing you for a long time. We can discuss all the practicalities, but at least the most important thing is that tax competition is not some kind of law of nature where, oh, you know, we are powerless. If people move to Switzerland, then we cannot do anything. No, this is a choice. You know, you let people move without having any tax to pay anymore, or you can say, yes, of course, you're free to move, and Switzerland is free to choose not to tax you if they don't want to tax you. But if they don't tax you, we will keep taxing you.
But isn't that a radical proposal, or are there countries that tax their citizens even if they move to other countries?
It's not radical at all. By the way, it's already in the Norwegian base tax law, you know, that says that if someone has been a tax resident for 10 years in Norway, then that person has to keep paying taxes for 3 years after leaving Norway. It's a very good rule, but the problem is that it's been overruled by double tax treaties that were signed with Switzerland and other tax havens for no good reason, for no valid reason. So the bottom line is wealth tax is needed, is part of the ideal tax system, but you have to do it smartly, and you have to get rid of these exemptions that allow billionaires to move tax-free to Switzerland.
But as far as I understand, the United States of America, they do keep on taxing their citizens, even if they move outside.
What the US does is something different, is that taxation is based on citizenship, meaning if you were born in the US and so you have US citizenship, you have to keep paying taxes in the US no matter where you live until you die. And, you know, it's not a great system either, because if you spend just 2 months in the US and then your parents move, why would you have to keep paying taxes in the US until you die? So that's one extreme. But what Norway and other countries do is the opposite extreme, where you've spent all your life in Norway, you've become super rich in Norway, and now all of a sudden you move to Switzerland and you have immediately zero tax to pay in Norway. That's extreme in the other direction. The best system is an in between, where if you've lived for a long time in a country, number one. Number two, you've become rich in that country. And number three, you move to a low tax country. No, it's not going to work. Taxation is going to follow you. You know, the origin country is going to keep taxing you after you've moved for at least 5 or 10 years.
So that is practical to do? Is it possible for the tax authorities in Norway to
very practical. It could be done like today. There is no obstacle.
For then asking the last question, how do you see this evolve? Will it be not the good, the bad, the ugly, but the good, the good, the good? Or are you an optimist or a pessimist when it comes to taxation and inequality?
I'm reasonably optimistic, and we've made progress already over the last 10 years. It shows that when there's the political will to address certain issues, new forms of international cooperation can emerge in a relatively short period of time. Tremendous demand globally for more progressive taxation. When you look at opinion polls in all countries, it's not only true in Norway, but it's also true in the US. I mean, everywhere, people say that they want more taxation of the wealthy, they want more taxation of multinational firms. And it can take time for the political system to to address that demand. But I think that ultimately that demand will be heard, number one. And number two, that there are practical ways to implement this democratic will, even in a fully globalized economy.
Thank you very much for being in the podcast.
Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Du har nå hørt en podcast fra Dagens Næringsliv.